Welcome to Women in the Middle Entrepreneurs, the podcast that gives you an unfiltered behind-the-scenes look at what it's really like being a woman in the middle who's over 50 and following her entrepreneurial dreams. Grab a superhero cape, girlfriend, because you deserve one. I'm your host, Master Certified Life Coach and Midlife Mentor, Susie Rosenstein, and I am excited to inspire you with interviews that feature all of this midlife amazingness. Let's go. Hey there, welcome back to the show. We have another really exciting interview ahead of us about going from being a school teacher to investing in properties and running a music school. Today, you'll be meeting Rachel DeGazon, a woman in the middle entrepreneur whose big dreams and big ideas led her to become an entrepreneur and teach music to students of all ages. Welcome to the show, Rachel. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me, Susie. What a great day for a podcast.
It sure is. And we're having so much fun with tech over here today. So much fun. But we're just going to keep rolling because I think all of that stuff has passed. I know we're going to have a great conversation about your midlife entrepreneur story. We'll be talking about your business and what's going really well, and also about what midlife issues might be getting in your way here or there. Maybe a hiccup or two that have to do with midlife, and they may be challenging for you in your life as well as being a business owner. So let's get things started. If you could tell us how old you are, how long you've been an entrepreneur, and what it is you do in the world, that would be great. Take it away.
Okay. Yes. So my name's Rachel and I am 52 almost. I am a mother of three children in their 20s. My husband and I, we run music schools in the GTA. Along with that, we have investment properties and we do some movie shoots around our house, which kind of rolls things into a nice package of being entrepreneurs.
It sure does. And what really stood out in your notes is that you've been doing this a long time. So How did the whole thing start? You started out as a music teacher, right? I mean, a regular teacher.
Yes. So I actually, my first degree is in biochem, believe it or not, but that did not inspire me. Music did. So I would rush out of the labs at university and I'd rush into the practice rooms. I ended up getting a music degree and then a teacher's degree at University of Toronto. I think I was 22 when I started teaching with York Region Board. So I taught grade 4-5 core and then grade 7-8 music.
Oh,
there for a few years. And I had my children right away. And it was at that time, just in the transition, my husband at the time, he was working corporate downtown. And we were trying to figure out life with three young kids and working as a teacher and in corporate. So eventually I got out of the teaching and I started teaching private music lessons. I started at the school that I was actually teaching at, which was fantastic and super convenient. And then we transitioned. I actually resigned from the board a few years after that and started my own baby. So that's going to be 30 years, actually.
I can't believe it.
Five.
What is your music, your instrument of choice, or what do you play?
I'm a pianist and a vocalist. And believe it or not, I play trumpet. That's what I studied in university. So all that, you know, fun stuff. But once you graduate and you have all these students, the majority of students didn't want trumpet lessons. They wanted piano lessons. They wanted guitar lessons, vocal lessons. That's very, very popular. So then I just transitioned, started with a few students, and then it grew and grew. Meanwhile, I have three little children and my husband who was gone all day downtown in the city. And I kept pushing business away. I kept saying, oh, there's a music school over there, head that way, because I just couldn't do it all. And then I got the bright idea. I think maybe 24 at this time. And I thought, you know what? This is silly. We've got a great thing going here. And it took me, believe it or not, Susie, this is the crazy part, 10 years before I hired my first teacher. Mm-hmm. So it was years of doing this, deciding the thought of it, but to actually take the plunge, which is so silly. I shouldn't have taken that long. Was it 10 years? Maybe a little bit less than 10 years, actually. But once I hired my first, it was like, wow, there are other teachers in the city who are amazing too. They don't just want me.
So it's amazing.
30 teachers and we have three locations in the GTA.
This is amazing. You know, I right now, as you're talking, I'm thinking when I first started to play saxophone, I was 10. It was my mother's saxophone. I heard all the stories about, you know, she had to schlep the saxophone to school in the snow and like all of that. I had the same saxophone. Oh, totally uphill. I had that same saxophone through marching band in high school and through university until I dropped it. Mm-hmm. I dropped it at community band and it fell off my lap when I was pregnant with, I think, my second kid. And I crunched it. I had to get it repaired. And the person who repaired it had a thick accent. And I had a Boucher saxophone. And he told me it was Dreck. It was Dreck.
I was Dreck.
It was Dreck. So after he told me it wasn't worth fixing, because by then, you know, she was probably playing in the, let me think, in the 50s. So I had really had that sax for a while.
Wow.
I purchased a new one and it was a newer student model, but I didn't like it. And then I got a really nice saxophone and that's been great. So that was my story. But then when my kids were born, I just assumed my husband played clarinet. I just assumed they would be playing something. So as you said, I started them out on piano. They hated piano. One of them enjoyed singing and then two of them moved to guitar and one of them, in a fit of rage, said he hated music. And I'm like, no kid of mine's going to hate music. And then it was like a slow motion moment. I thought to myself, what am I going to do? And it came out of my mouth. It was as if I was watching myself say this. How about drums?
Oh, no, you did it to yourself, Susie. You did it to yourself.
Oh, my God, it was painful. But he is so passionate about drums and it's been a great thing. So you're right.
You did the music. Right mom thing. A good mom thing to do is to sit with it and find an instrument that they're passionate about, right? Whether it's
definitely
drums, piano, or voice.
And you know, when they love music, even the one who doesn't play anymore, he is a very serious music listener and concert goer and speaker appreciator, you know? So it's all been so important. So you're doing such amazing things in the world. Now, you mentioned that it took you a while to hire your first person. So right away, I'm thinking, well, of course it did. She's busy. She's got little kids. What was it actually that you think got in your way of thinking big at that time?
What got in the way? I'm a control freak. And I think there was a little bit of pride involved, to be honest with you. I was this young teacher in York Region, and I am a bit of a workaholic. So was my husband. So we were just these people, right? And I just poured my life. We did musicals and we had bands and choirs. I poured my heart and my life and my soul into everything. And, I just thought I was that person, and I was that person. And I'm very grateful for the community that was there. But when I started doing my own thing, I thought that, you know, I know how I wanted it done. I knew what curriculum we were using. I knew the games that I needed to, you know, how to work with a 4-year-old and how to work with a 14-year-old, how to get them, how to inspire them. And I didn't think there was anybody else who could do that but me. And so it was a bit of a control and also maybe pride that I had. Hey, you know what? I cannot actually do this all. I did have 3 kids that were keeping me busy, and I went as long as I could teaching as much as I could until there was that breaking point when it's like, you know what? We can do better, Rachel. We need to do better. There's this wonderful community of students in the York Region area. Actually, Kleinberg is where I started.
Oh.
And I mean, they're depending on me to give them great lessons anyway. So it took that one. And then once I realized, wow, you know, they've got creative minds as well, and I can work with them too. So we are on the same page. It was just easy after that. Just one teacher and then another teacher. They ended up being the first few students were actually first few teachers were actually my old students, which is kind of neat.
Oh, I love that first circle. You know, thanks for being so honest about that, because I think what you're identifying is something that can probably gets in the way of so many. And I've heard this from lots of business coaches that it's so, most of us need to get help sooner than we do for a variety of reasons, fear, pride, identity, all of that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think there's also an identity, not a crisis, but part of it is I am super mom. I can actually raise my 3 kids and I'm an educated, strong woman and I can do it all. And you can for a time until you can't.
Until you can't, or until you realize that if you want to grow your business, you got to change your business model.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Changed business model. And I think I waited a little bit too long to hire our front desk manager. So I would be all hours, right? This is, you do the crazy, stupid things. And I wish I learned. I don't have a business degree. I just thought I could do it all, you know, at midnight, 1 a.m, I'm still, you know, answering my emails and scheduling. And that took a lot for me to now outsource a 40-hour week job to a front desk manager who can take care of all the admin so I can focus on the real stuff that matters in my business. Mm,
brilliant. Yeah. And that shift was probably one of the main reasons that you are successful.
Definitely how we've been able to grow. Absolutely.
Yeah. Wow. Amazing. Okay. Now, as an entrepreneur, somebody with an entrepreneurial mindset is always thinking, so how the heck did you start investing in properties?
Oh, well, I was a school teacher. I had great benefits and I had retirement done. And then I resigned and my parents were like, what are you doing? What are you thinking? So giving up the benefits, I mean, my children, I had them floss their teeth every night and brush their teeth. And we were quite fastidious. And, you know, there's no benefits, especially when you're starting out a business. We were, you know, for the first couple of years, we were eating beans. You know, it's not like we could spend a few hundred dollars on a cavity. And then a few years in, we should have thought about this earlier, maybe, but retirement. What are we doing for retirement? So here's a little insert here. My husband, he was in corporate downtown Toronto. And what happened is the Gazon Music was growing so much. And the tension, right? It always builds up. And then there's that tension. You don't really get off the hot seat until you feel that tension. At least that's the way it is for me.
Yeah.
And that tension of, I need to hire somebody. I need to hire an accountant. I need to hire and all these people. I'm a marketer. I can't cook and clean and market and teach. And so it came to that point where it's like, why don't you leave your job? And he was making a great income down there. Leave your job and join me. And that was Susie. That was crazy. That was again, my parents, what are you thinking? So we left behind all the benefits. We left behind all the retirement. So it was then when we needed to figure out what we're doing. So thank goodness it was before COVID. And we did purchase some property so that we can rent it out so that by the time we retire, we'll have some kind of an income coming in.
Okay. But where did that idea come from? Did anybody in your family do that before?
No, not really. So we lived in Thornhill in north of the city when we were first married, and we were so excited. My husband worked at IBM and I was teaching, and we were so excited. I was actually pregnant with my first child, and we're in an apartment and we were looking to purchase our first house, and we couldn't afford it unless we put in a basement apartment. So it was a bungalow. And we thought, you know what, if we can finish this basement and we can make it really nice and get some, that'll cover the mortgage. So that's how it all started. And then we moved to Mississauga and where we are now. And same thing, we have a little coach house apartment above our garage. And we said, well, we can't move unless we, so we got used to the idea of it. We were very, it was successful. It went well. I know now we have a few properties and there are a lot of pitfalls. Absolutely. There's a lot of just two steps back and two steps forward, one step back and two steps forward, one step back. It's not always easy, but everything good in life doesn't come easy, right?
Oh, for sure. But I'm just always so curious about this because there's one thing is being risk averse. Some people would never do this in a million years. And so I love hearing about where the idea came from. Like in your case, it wasn't your parents. It wasn't your husband's parents. That were entrepreneurial or that invested in property. But for you, it was a way to get into the housing market.
It was probably my husband who was trying to convince me because he's a taker than I am. So I would have said, no. Let's pay off our house first. And this was years ago, of course. Let's pay off the house first because that's what we were brought up doing, right?
Right.
Being taught. But no, he is definitely more risk averse. So that was... I mean, we're still in progress, right? Some days we can't stomach it. We just can't stomach it. And some days it's like, you know what? This is a good thing. We should tell everybody about this.
Definitely. Yeah. So thanks for letting me know that. I really do find that fascinating. And you mentioned very briefly that there's something going on with filming in your house. So how does that work?
Oh, as an entrepreneur, I think we're always thinking, right, of ways to make some money or ways to skin the cat or ways to figure it all out. Because, I mean, like every business, there are leaner times and you get the hay while the sun shines. I know summer for us is a little bit lower. We just happen to have, it's a very humble home, but it just has this American look, like that East Coast kind of look to it, you know, with the wood siding and the shutters, and it's a 150-year-old home. And for some reason, people like the look of our house. So they would start about 20 years ago knocking on our door and say, hey, do you want to use, you know, be used for a film? And so that started, it kickstarted everything. But then from there, I have met all these location scouts over the years that I've built a relationship with. And, you know, texting, oh, you know, happy new year or happy birthday or, you know, how are you, how's your wife and kids doing? Or, you know, just built relationships. And I think we've had now, probably 18 to 20 commercials or shows, Netflix series done over the years, which is kind of neat, right? It's a little side hustle, which is kind of fun. And I feel like a movie star. Like, it's my house that's in the movies, but it's like, I feel like a movie star. It's very fun.
Well, where do you live when all this is going on?
Oh, they usually put us up in a hotel or maybe we'll head to our cottage. You know, just we definitely get out of the way. Our dog has passed away. But before my dog, you know, yap, 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 you couldn't be doing any filming with the dog barking. So we would just, it was best. They really turned the house upside down. You wouldn't even recognize our house. They take everything out. I don't know why they just don't build a set. But anyway.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you about pets with this. And so I'm sorry about your dog. But you've been able to really have a little side hustle with this. And I, you know, also your entrepreneurial mindset about maintaining relationships, the way you're doing it, it's second nature to you. But I'm sure it has a huge relationship to your success in making this happen.
Yeah, you know what? I do think it's just being connected, right? Just like with our families, with the Degazon Music families, our newsletter. I can't always be at all the three studios, but just keeping in touch with the newsletter. Keeping in touch with, you know, there's a family member that passes away, just a little note, you know, just keeping in touch. And that means that we do keep in touch. The directors will maybe, I might be first top of mind when they have a shoot. I might not always get it. You know, usually one out of 10 directors that come, we'll win maybe one of 10 that come by. Oh, no, too small, Rachel. Oh, no, we want a bigger backyard, Rachel. Oh, no, that's okay. But at least they come by and an opportunity to make coffee.
Oh, it's amazing. Okay. Now, you know, one of the things I'm super interested on this podcast is how midlife is getting in the way of you being able to run your businesses the way you want to. So it doesn't mean that it causes it to come to a screeching halt, but it's just these hiccups, these parts of midlife can just really get in the way. So what is that like for you? What happens in Rachel's world?
It can be very overwhelming. I'm at the age now, I've been running this almost 30 years. So you think I would be so good at it. You think it would just be lickety split and it would all come naturally. I am getting better at certain things. And I think the older I'm getting, I'm able to weather some storms, with all businesses, you know, there's crises that come and you just take one thing at a time and work through it. But I have had to be extra mindful, since hitting that age. I can tend to get overwhelmed more than I have in the past.
Interesting. Yeah.
A little bit of a different thing. And that was a little bit of a new thing for me where it's like, oh, you know, I've got this. Like, Rachel, you've got this. You've been doing this for 30 years. Why am I still, you know, and, having a different mindset, changing my mindset, when negative thoughts come in about, you know, aging, you name it, whether it's health or body or brain fog or nights, you know, night sweats and whatnot, all the things that come with the change. It's a lot of talking to myself and meditating and taking one thing at a time, but that crept up on me. I'll be honest with you, that whole, oh my goodness, why am I, this is 30 years. Like, why am I still overwhelmed? So
yeah, I can totally see it though, too, because think about it there. If you just think about the physical stuff that comes with menopause, and how you might be having brain fog or your sleep might be disturbed, or maybe your energy isn't as consistent. Like, you're a very high energy person. And a lot of people I'm hearing on the podcast are talking about energy shifts. And yeah. So, of course, it can be overwhelming if you're not at your best, if you're not at your strongest, your clearest, you know?
And I have to be, for my job, like everybody's job, we have to be at our clearest. We have people asking us. People expect the best from us. So we have to be our best. So that was like, that is something that I just, need to meander this whole.
Yeah, it is. And you know what I'm calling it on, since I've been doing the podcast, it's become very clear to me that we need something called what I'm calling a midlife operating system. So we've been operating with the system of how to run businesses and how to be happy and how to be successful in one way. But now at our age, with all this other stuff going on, that same system doesn't work. But like you said, with more mindfulness and being more aware of what you're thinking and also being more connected to your body, maybe you need to give yourself downtime in the afternoon, or maybe you do need to go to bed earlier, or maybe you do need to allow yourself to have a slower morning to accommodate when you do have energy and when is good for you, whatever it is, right?
Without feeling guilty.
Yes, exactly. Without feeling guilty. I've had a lot of clients that have... Say that again?
Well, just look, my upbringing, right? And there's a lot of people in my boat too, you know, we're, children of immigrant parents, and that work ethic, and which I'm so grateful for. I am so grateful for that work ethic, because that will get you through everything, or a lot anyway. And, but there is that 2 o'clock in the afternoon coffee break. No, that does not happen. You know, you need to stay on top of things. So, there's a lot. There's a lot of family. I have three children. I have, you know, in-laws and my own parents, lots of family, which I'm so grateful for. But then there's the business and the businesses. And there's also just the dailies, right? The dailies of maintaining your friendships. A little bit of Rachel time, you know, trying to carve that out. And that is, I now, in my 50s now, that is something that is non-negotiable. I actually need to carve out time for myself. And it's easier because my kids are older as well. And I've got great staff. But from 12 to 3 on a Sunday, I am sailing Lake Ontario. I am racing my boat on Lake Ontario.
Oh, that's great.
In certain days, you know, this is what I need. And I find that really helps put things into perspective too. You know, like, it's not all work. I can be that kind of person where I can just heads down. It can all be work. And that's not healthy.
Absolutely. No, that's great that you realize that. And what's happening with your parents and in-laws aging? Have things come up where you've needed to just stop what you're doing and go help?
We're a very close family. So we always have, we have a cottage and we're always hanging out and having fun. Fortunately, my parents are in their 70s and my husband's they're in their 80s. And they are 70, 80 going on 20. So that has not been, knock on wood, has not been something that I've had to deal with. I've seen it with my friends, and that is not, you know, they're healthy and they're strong. And so that's, but you do think about them aging, and they still need to get out and they still need a social life and making sure that they're in relationship with people. And so that's something that, more so too is my children. They have girlfriends coming over and boyfriends, and, you know, that's a very full life as well. But yeah, we've experienced in our family, you know, losses we've experienced on top of the business and top of the work and on top of the daily, you know, laundry and cooking and cleaning, you know, losses of deaths in the family, or somebody touched by mental health, or, you know, that's all on top of the, and add to the feeling of, this is like too much going on.
Yeah, it's a lot for sure. Now, one of the things you mentioned in your notes is you talked about the role that you're playing, you know, supporting and influencing young staff, and that they crave it. So really, you're taking on this mentorship role. And I love that you talked about it, because being a mentor in midlife tends to be exceptionally rewarding and fulfilling for us, as well as a recognition of what you have learned, not just being older, but being older and wiser, that is incredibly valuable to young people who want to listen. That's the key. Tell me how this is working with the younger people in your life.
Yeah. No, that's a great question. And I think, Susie, that's what keeps me going, to be honest with you. That has given me this new life. What keeps me going in the years that I'm in right now? Our staff are typically between 20 and 30. And you're right. My staff will listen to me because we're colleagues and they kind of have to listen to me. Whereas my kids might not listen to me.
Exactly.
I feel such a, first of all, they're the coolest kids in the city and they're the greatest staff. I have the teacher, best teachers in the GTA. But being that person where I can actually, they can look up to me, not even just as a mentor or a boss or, you know, somebody who, you know, but even somebody that they go, oh my goodness, you know what? She's in her 50s and she's sagging and she's getting wrinklier and she's getting older, right? People don't ask, oh, I need lessons with Mrs. DeGazon. No, they, you know, my younger teachers have all got a following of students, which is wonderful. That's what I want. It's great. Yeah. But they can actually, I mean, in our society, like, I don't know about you, Susie, but 50-year-old woman, like that is so old. And I remember being a kid in my 20s thinking, oh my goodness, like so old. And already, I'm not even going to talk about my teachers right now, but just individuals in their women in their 20s, I feel like I have better body confidence and more confidence than these girls in their 20s who are getting all the lip fillers and the injections and the won't go on the beach in a bikini because even though their bodies are flawless, but the insecurity about, I don't know if I'll be able to buy a house or am I good enough for this guy? Or should I hold on to that relationship that is really quite toxic? And I feel like a little bit of this, this is where I shine. This is where I can take my wing and I can say, girls, you do not need to put up with that. And girls, you look amazing. You don't need to do all this, blah, blah, blah. I have more confidence now in my 50s than I did in my 20s. And I can show them, you and I, Susie, can show them, you, me, my, all these other women in their 50s can show them that 50s is a good time. It can be a good time. I exercise a lot and I do watch what I eat. I enjoy a lot of treats on the side and I enjoy a lot of fun. But if they see that, if they see a woman taking care of themselves, taking care of their brain, being, you know, keeping very involved in society and they have so much to look forward to. It's not the end. It's not the end.
Exactly. Rachel, I love this. Such a positive role model. You know, I turned 60 2 weeks ago and I can't, you know, it's funny because it's kind of shocking because I still think about myself in my 30s. But on the other hand, I was very aware and tuned in my 50s and I feel great talking about it. Not and great. I've been, oh, thank you. I've just been talking about it so much.
Yeah.
Because it's great for young women, especially to see that 60, 55, 50 is not the end.
No.
Because when we grew up, it seemed older.
Yes. Yes. And I think that's what's given me this new life, too. I mean, I love mentoring. I love that anyway. But to be able to, in my 50s now, I have this gaggle of kids. In the 20s, and they are just upside down, some of them, right?
Yeah.
And for me to come alongside them and do that, that is kind of the shifting my mindset. I can focus on all the body changes. I can focus on all these changes. I can focus on the fact that I can't do what I used to do in my 40s or 30s. I can focus and dwell on that. Or I can dwell on the fact that, wow, you know what? These kids actually listen to me. They are actually wanting to know. How do you know, did some life lessons, which is kind of cool.
It's so great. It's so great. So tell me, what are you focused on right now in your business?
Yeah, you know what? That's great because my husband's a little bit older than me. He's about 5 years ahead of me. So he's getting to the point where he's thinking, oh, you know, we love our jobs and I love to work. I don't think I'll ever stop working.
Right.
But the idea of like so hard, maybe backing off a little bit. I still like to keep very much a pulse. I love to pop in the studios. I love our performances and our recitals, and I will never give that up. But the idea of having other teachers or admin taking a bigger role so that I can have that 2 o'clock in the afternoon sale or coffee with a friend. It's very important as we are aging to foster those relationships.
Yeah.
Foster the relationships with your friendships, because at the end of the day, you will have your friends. And if you entrepreneurs, I think maybe I'll speak for myself, but we tend to get lost in our business.
Yes.
That relationships can take the back burner. And I think I'm at this state now where things are shifting a little bit, where I realize people are getting older. And at the end of the day, you have this great business and you have all this money in the bank. But if your soul is not at peace and your heart's not at rest and you're not in good relationship with people, it's worth, in my opinion, it's worth nothing. It just doesn't mean it. So that's what I'm hoping to do more, spend a little bit more time. I was very much hands-on with my children all the way through. So we are enjoying our young adults. They're a lot of fun.
Oh my gosh, aren't they fun? It's so true. It's so true. So Rachel, how can people best get in touch with you?
Yes. So if there's anybody looking for music lessons and they're in the GTA,
the Toronto area. Yep.
go.degazalmusic.ca, go.degazalmusic.ca. Or if they just want general information at Degazal Music, that's our website, degazalmusic.ca.
You want to spell that?
Yes. D as in David, EGAZON as in Nancy Music, Degazal Music.
And that's .ca because we're in Canada.
Yes.
Amazing. And of course, these links will be in the show notes, but I just like, some people like to do it right away. So I just wanted to make sure that we say it out loud as well. Well, Rachel, this has been great. Thank you so much for taking the time from your very busy and musical day and sharing all of this. I really appreciate how you really branched out from teaching. You used your gift, you used your passion for music, and you were open to pursuing real estate investing, property management, and also this fun side hustle of all the movie gigs in your home. It's just so fun. So thank you so much for all of your hard work.
Thank you so much.
Amazing. Okay, that is it for now. If you're listening and loving what you hear, please like and subscribe. Reviews are great too and much appreciated. And if you're a woman in the middle who's 50 or over and an entrepreneur and would also like to come on the show, please go to www.midlifeinterviews.com and fill out an application. We'd love to have you on to share your story. Thanks so much for listening. It's never too late for you to put yourself on your agenda. I'm Susie Rosenstein, and I'll talk to you again soon. Now, real quick before we say goodbye, if you are connecting with this show, I'd love to invite you to a happiness breakthrough coaching session. It's my laser-focused coaching call that will help you get clear about what's getting in your way as a woman in the middle entrepreneur and confident about your next steps to more happiness in your next chapter. Head over to www.nextchapterbreakthrough.com. Talk to you soon.